series of messages on the Lord's Prayer. And today we'll be looking at verse 12, which reads, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Now, as we started to think about this whole idea of the concept of forgiveness. Luana, could do next slide? One more. As we started to think about this concept of forgiveness, you know, what do you think comes to mind? And sometimes do we use forgiveness to overlook someone else's limitations? And if you look at this comic here, it says, you know, "Don't like my preaching, dial 1-800-FORGIVE. So please don't call 1-800-FORGIVE if my message this morning isn't that great. Or perhaps we think of forgiveness as having a limit, as we see at this comic, as it says here, "As you can clearly see by this ledger, you have been forgiven 490 times and are no longer covered by the biblical policy." Maybe we think that there's a limit to forgiveness and perhaps God's forgiveness. How about the third idea? Do we think forgiveness is just a nice idea, but it's unrealistic? Here's this little boy, he says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." And then someone throws a stick at him and he says, "He got any stones?" You know, maybe we think, maybe most of us here can relate to what this boy is going through. Because I'm sure if I came to each and every one of you this morning, I think you would be able to share with me a story about how perhaps you were wronged, you were hurt, you were embarrassed by another. Perhaps how you really wanted to get back at this person, to hurt this person, to embarrass this person in the same way that they hurt you. Perhaps the thought of not forgiving this person may have even come into your mind. See, I believe the reality is this. As people, we do find it hard to receive or to accept forgiveness, or to even give or extend forgiveness. And this is why Jesus teaches his disciples to pray for forgiveness, both in receiving it and extending it to others. You know, as my next slide here says, as Alexander Pope, the 18th century poet, says, "To err is human, to forgive is divine." And I might add, to be forgiven is also divine. So if you look again in Matthew chapter 6 here, as it says in verse 12, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven debtors." And what we have here in this verse is the second of three petitions that acknowledge our human needs relationally. You know, Pastor Lawrence last week talked from verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." And here he's talking about our human physical needs. Well, today we're going to be talking about our needs as people, our relational needs. See, here Jesus is teaching his disciples the concept of forgiveness, and that as we seek forgiveness from God for our sins, we in turn are to forgive those who have sinned against us. Now, to kind of put this verse into context, see, Jesus here was addressing the issue of forgiveness of sin because the Pharisees thought they were pure because of their religious observations, but they did not acknowledge their own sin of self-righteousness. See, Jesus is saying to us, all of us here, even his disciples, that none of us are righteous before the Lord, no matter how extravagant our outward works are. And I'm sure this, no doubt, angered the Pharisees. Now, to give us an idea of what this meant to the disciples, if we'll go to the next slide here, we need to look at the word forgive, which is the Greek word, and forgive me because my Greek isn't that great. It's this epiemi. That's how it's supposed to be pronounced. Which is translated to send away, to let go, or to let go. Another form of the word forgive is also translated be gracious to. And to be honest, for the disciples, this concept was not only just out of the box, but also out of this world. You know, imagine with me for a second what the disciples were thinking when Jesus said these words. Forgive? You want me to pray to God that he would forgive me? But not only that, you want me to pray that I would in turn forgive others? This is blasphemy. This goes against everything that I've been taught about. And again, to understand this reaction, we must understand that in the Jewish world, to seek forgiveness was not something you just did. It's not that simple. Because in the Jewish mind, the concept of forgiveness was tied in with this idea of atonement, sacrifice, having an intermediary, someone who would go to God on your behalf. You couldn't just simply pray to God for forgiveness. And furthermore, if you were wronged by another person, according to Jewish law, you were entitled to some sort of compensation equivalent to that wrong that was done. You know, we joke about this, about how, you know, back in the day when, you know, people would have this problems of issues, that, you know, they would, you know, give like 2 goats, a chicken, a couple of eggs, whatever it is. But that was the kind of the idea that we had, that they had, that if you wronged me, then I was deserving, I was entitled to some sort of compensation. There was no talk about forgiveness, just retribution. And furthermore, my personal forgiveness by God had nothing to do with my forgiving another person. Again, we must take into consideration the time and place to fully understand the extent to what Jesus was telling the disciples to do. You know, without a doubt, the disciples, their families, their friends, had endured injustice and suffering, and most likely death. And so to pray to God in heaven that they would send away or let go or be gracious to their enemies, in the same way that God would send away or let go or be gracious to our sins, to their sins, was just as difficult for them as it is for us today. And this is why Jesus teaches us to pray in this way. Because by our own strength and our own will, we are not able to forgive. True forgiveness requires divine intervention. And Jesus is saying here, look guys, your relationship with God, you can now come to God because I am that person. I am that sacrifice. I am that fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. I am that intermediary. You can now come before God and seek His forgiveness, and in the same way, be able to ask Him to help you to forgive others. And that in itself is the gospel message, isn't it? Because of that hope that we have in Christ, His life, His death, His resurrection, we are able to have true forgiveness. You know, as Donald Williams says in this next slide here, in thanking and praising Him for our own forgiveness, we also find the ability we need to forgive others. And in so doing, confirms the fact that we ourselves are in a state of grace. You know, I'd like to add to one statement here. We not only find the ability we need to forgive others, but I think we also need to find the ability to forgive ourselves, to learn to let go, to learn to send away, to learn to be gracious. You know, this morning I was running a little late. You know, you have one of those days where everything seems to be going okay. And, you know, my wife and I were on time. We're driving to church. We're thinking, yeah, it's going to be good, you know. Do our usual thing. We stop by McDonald's. We grab something. So tooling along Highway 1, and all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, no, I've got to turn back. She goes, why? Because I forgot to bring the resources for Phoebe this morning for Sunday school. So I'm starting to panic on Highway 1, and I'm thinking, oh, no, what am I going to do? Quickly called Lawrence and say, Lawrence, I'm going to be running late. I'm not even going to be there to pray with the worship team because I had to run back to my house. And he's like, yeah, man, don't worry about it. You just go do that. And so we do this, you know, huge 180 turn. We're flying back to Langley. We're breaking, you know, the speed limit. Not that I encourage this. Get to the house. And the whole time, I am beating myself up. I'm beating myself up and thinking, stupid Sherman, why didn't I remember last night to put the resource in the different car? Don't we? You know, isn't it interesting? We seek forgiveness from God. We seek God for us to help us forgive others. How often do we also seek God to help us to forgive ourselves? Here's another statement, you know, not to forgive is to reject the way of the kingdom and to cling to the ethic of getting even. Now God warns against this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 to 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive the men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And we see this in the parable later on, where Jesus is telling the parable of the unrepentant servant, or the unforgiving servant. And I recommend you to read that. And that puts it into perspective, this whole idea of not just seeking forgiveness from God, but also in returning forgiveness to others as well as to ourselves. You know, in our present day, this whole idea of seeking forgiveness from a higher being or an outside force or God, for a lack of a better word, is not really progressive in our modern and postmodern minds, you know. Seeking forgiveness means that I have something to feel guilty about. Maybe I have something to confess. But if I believe that I have not done anything wrong, there's nothing for me to seek forgiveness for. I mean, if it feels right to me and I'm not harming anyone, then it can't possibly be wrong. But here's another statement. We need forgiveness for the wrong we have done and for the good that we have left undone, for the sins we know and those that which we are unaware. You see, the words debt and debtors, the word debt and debtors in this verse is literally translated sin and sinner. But we don't talk like this anymore, do we? We don't talk about sins. We don't talk about sinners. We're taught that all of humanity is good. But, you know, the Bible teaches here in Psalm 51, if you look at this next slide, this truly is not the reality. Here is David pouring his heart out to God after he has sinned against him through his adultery with Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. From these five verses alone, we uncover four truths about humanity and our need for forgiveness from our sins. And this, we look at our next slide here. The first one is that God has a moral law for everyone. As most of us know, we understand that there is a natural law, a certain things that happen in our universe, in our world. And that's because God has created it that way. We have a natural law of gravity, friction. You know, science has proven that there is a natural law. We also have a logical law. We're able to rationalize. We're able to think. God has given that ability for us to do that. But God has also given us a moral law, a moral code by which humanity is to live in a moral law that God has given us so that we can live according to His will. This is a code of conduct which we see, for example, in the Ten Commandments. We also see it in the Two Commandments, which is love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. If you read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 through 7, again you see what is God's intended for His people. We have a moral law by which we are to abide. Secondly, this verse also teaches that God has a right to our obedience. He is the one who has created us. He is the one who washes our sin, cleanses us from our sin. He is the one who fills us with His unfailing love. He is the one who is compassionate to us. Thirdly, God's law is good, and disobedience is therefore truly wicked and inexcusable. As David here says, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. And lastly, God is not only good and loving, but also just, and therefore rewards sin with its appropriate punishment. As again, David says here, you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. You know, if we think that humans don't sin, I would challenge all of us here today to measure up ourselves against God's moral laws that I've just given an example from, the Ten Commandments, the Two Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount. You know, here's a simple one. When was the last time you misused God's name? And forgive me if I say this, but it is so often we hear people say, oh my God, oh my God. They don't actually mean, oh my God. They're using His name in vain. Jesus Christ. How many times have you guys not heard that? I've heard that all the time. People curse His name, use His name as a curse. Have you not thought this week, man, I wish I had that car or that TV or that computer that my neighbor just got? You know, we all have this sin in us, this sin of covetousness. Just the other day, I was sitting I was just driving, and, you know, my wife and I, we just purchased a new car, and I saw the same model of car, and this other model of car had a V6 in it. I'm thinking, man, I should have paid the extra $1,000 and got the V6. I'm thinking, why? You know? We all do that. How many times have we been driving along Highway 1 or wherever, someone cuts us off, and you go, you, bleep, 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 bleep. It happens. We all do that. Maybe this week, you were asked to do something by your parents, by your co-workers, your bosses, whatever. And you said yes in your heart. Or you said yes with your mouth. But in your heart, you're thinking, yeah, I'm not going to do that. We all do it. You know, there's lots of examples that human sin does exist. I don't have to go very far or very deep. But you know, we have downplayed its reality and its consequence. And this doesn't necessarily negate our human need for forgiveness. It just disguises our need for it. Psalm 51, verse 6 to 13 continues. In our next slide here. Surely you desire the truth in the inner parts. You teach me with wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear your joy. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. The next slide, please. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. And then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Recognize a song from this verse? We all need to be forgiven for something, I believe. But sometimes I think that we feel we're unworthy of forgiveness, especially when it's from God. Sometimes we feel we have done something so wrong, so displeasing to God, that He would never be able to forgive us. And so this morning, I want to give you this verse. And I hope that it will give you a better picture of our loving, merciful, forgiving, and loving God. It's in Psalm 103, verse 8 to 14. And I'd like all of us here this morning to read this along with me. Commit this to memory and know that the Lord does love you. That the Lord does and will forgive you no matter what. Let's read this together. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. Next slide. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. This passage can be summed up in one very simple verse. And it's Romans chapter 5, verse 8, which says, God demonstrated His own love for us in this. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I hope you take that to heart this morning. Because you are never so far from God that God cannot forgive you if you seek Him. 1 John 1, verse 8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But here's the hope. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Jesus' prayer to forgive one another as God forgives us is to help us remember that we are all human, we all sin, and we all need forgiveness. But while we are asked to forgive others, when we ask to forgive others, we're not doing this for the purpose of just better health or longer life, but because it is showing a way of showing gratitude to God for the infinitely greater forgiveness we have received through Christ. We're asked to forgive, but to not forget. And I want to stop here for a second and think about that. Yes, God forgives us. He encourages us to also give forgiveness to others. But it doesn't necessarily mean we forget. You know, I'm not giving license here for people to just simply, if you've done something wrong against someone, and to just say, I'm sorry, and then be done with. No. I don't think so. I think there needs to be some sort of a repayment, some sort of consequence to whatever has happened. You know, people talk about abusers and rapists and other things like that, people who have committed all sorts of crime. Yes, they need to pay for those sins, but then at the same time, that once those sins have been repaid, it's forgiven, it's over. But God here knows that we all have hurt. We all know that people have hurt us. But we are to make it known to the one who has hurt us how we feel. But then we are also given the choice to forgive. And we choose to forgive because of all of God's grace to us. We all carry wounds. And you can carry those wounds with you all your life if you like. But that's not what God wants for you. God wants you to have joy. God wants you to have peace. We need to learn to choose to forgive as God has given grace to us. You know, if you don't believe in the power of and legitimacy of the power of forgiveness in our lives, recent research by the American Psychological Association shows the correlation between forgiveness and one's emotional and physical health. It's been proven that unforgiveness leads to depression, anxiety, paranoia, and a whole host of other things. As one article states, unforgiveness is the biblical symptom of the hardness of heart. And so Jesus teaches us, He admonishes us, that we need to constantly self-examine ourselves, to confess and to repent as a regular part of our praying. And this is where I believe a Christian community, a Christ community shines. Because the Christ community understands what it means to be forgiven and to forgive. You know, I strongly, honestly believe this. If there's any place on earth that where any person can walk in and feel the love and grace and forgiveness of God, it should be the church. This should be the safest place on earth. We are not called to judge. We are called to forgive. And that's what our challenge for us today, I think, as a Christ community. Are we a community that forgives, or are we a community that judges? If we have people who walk in from the street today, people who seek, who don't believe that they can be forgiven because of the sins that they have committed, are they going to find God's grace and God's mercy and God's love and God's forgiveness in this place? If we don't love to forgive, and God have mercy on our soul. Forgive me. We are His people. We are His church. Can we be that forgiveness that this world seeks? It needs. How do we begin to forgive? How do we learn to forgive? Let's look at the next slide here. We learn to face conflict head on, and we try to resolve it quickly instead of trying to let it linger. We develop a deep understanding of why the other behaved as he or she did. And perhaps this will lead you to feel more empathy than anger. Maybe we need to ask ourselves, is there any chance that you may have acted the same as the one who hurt you if you've been in the same situation? Perhaps we need to examine with unfaltering courage your part in that situation. We also need to risk being open to your own pain, your own vulnerability, your own weakness. Maybe it's time we take a good and honest look at why you're holding on to that anger, that resentment. Ask what you need to learn or to let go of that anger. Choose to forgive over being right. Seek help when you cannot forgive or let go of anger, bitterness, or holding a grudge. And how do we as a corporate church begin to forgive? When we accept one another as fallen human beings, we stop judging and we start loving, and we commit to praying for one another. This morning, I'd like to give us the rest of this time for us to take in, perhaps, what the message has been this morning. I'd like you now, if you have your bulletins with you, if there's things you need to write out, if things you need to pray out, I would encourage you to do that. We're going to invite the worship team to just play some music in the background, and in that time, cry out to God, seek Him, seek His forgiveness, help Him to ask you to seek to forgive others. Maybe there's someone this week who has wronged you. Maybe there's someone this week that you have wronged, and you need to give that forgiveness. Pray for our church. Pray that we as a church would be able to be a church where we are a community that is not just a forgiven community, but a community that forgives. And I'd like to just give that time to you this right now, and then I would like to lead us into a time of prayer of confession, repentance, and grace.